Welcome to The Wagon, presented by Sportflix, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to The Waggle Podcast, brought to you by us here at the CFL and brought to you by our friends at Sportflix, who are known for their Sportflix MVP experience, which includes shampoos massaged into your scalp, hot steam towels for your face, and sports on TV like football, hockey, baseball, basketball, and of course, mainly football. It is very good to be a guy. It's very good to be a Sportclips guy because of those legendary haircuts. It's good to be a CFL fan. I'm Donovan Bennett, and I'm really, really excited to talk about some football. No, we don't have necessarily games to talk about, matchups to talk about and review, scores to break down, but we do have a schedule. We do have what 2020 in terms of a football season would look like, and that's reason enough to celebrate. That's some normalcy back into our lives. And that's what we're endeavoring to do on this very episode. Not necessarily talk about who your favorite team is going to be playing, what road trip is going to be really, really impactful. We will get into that at some point. There is still lots of time to break that down. But more so, how did the schedule come about? Why does it look the way it does? And what challenges do the pandemic that we all are evolving our lives around, what challenges did it present in terms of making the schedule? So who better to talk to than the schedule maker himself, Trevor Hardy, who does a lot of work with the league in terms of making sure that schedule is equitable for all teams, but also making sure that our teams are somewhat cap compliant. We're going to break down the schedule and how it complies to make sure that the teams are competitive, the league is balanced, and most importantly, the players are healthy. That conversation with Trevor Hardy next on The Waggle. Right, so we often on The Waggle bring people on to contextualize what's going on in the league that are a lot smarter and have a much more sophisticated impression on things than I do, which is not really that hard. It's not that high of a bar to clear, but it's certainly the case this week. Is we're talking to Trevor Hardy, who has been in charge of the CFL schedule for the better part of the last decade, and the salary cap is also under his purview. But we're going to talk about the schedule today because it's recently released, which gives us a little bit of normalcy as we look forward to football again in Canada in 2021. Thanks so much for doing this. And just to start, before we get into the minutiae of the schedule, just to be looking at matchups and teams playing each other again and thinking about a season again, that I'm sure must have been a bit of a relief for you and a nice return back to normal circumstances.
Yeah, thanks, Donovan. It's great great to be talking with you. You might think that because this is the only schedule that we've actually published, but I've to be honest with you, I spent the last probably, 8-9 months of this pandemic making schedules, because you might remember, back in June, July, August, we were looking at, all these different scenarios and different lengths of schedules. So I've got, I've got literally hundreds of schedules that I've created that haven't seen the light of day. So, the fact that this 2021 schedule was prepared and launched and published a couple weeks ago now, I guess it was. That's a relief that, one of these schedules actually got to see the light of day, but I haven't had any break from schedule making over the last 9 months.
So hundreds of schedules, what does that entail? What are the different, ramifications and scenarios that you're looking at and playing out? And what are the factors that you're weighing across the clubs that impact how and why you put a schedule together?
How long is this show?
as long as you want. I'm dying to talk football, so as long as you need.
Well, hey, there's when I say there's hundreds of schedules that I've seen, I'm running a computer software program that is identifying the best schedule amongst hundreds of thousands of versions of it. I only see, you know, I only see a very small number of the actual number of schedules that the computer program is preparing. So we use a computer software to create what's known as an optimal schedule. And what the computer program does is it goes through all the various iterations and all the different permutations of schedule matchups and days and times and and days rest and all those different things. The computer program does most of the work. You know, I simply, you know, I program it, and then my job is to look at the output and determine whether or not this would pass the sniff test, you know, the smell test of the commissioner and the nine clubs and our broadcaster. But we're looking at variables like, you know, the number of days rest between games, you know, whether we're protecting, you know, the matchups that everybody wants to see every year, like the Labor Day and the Grey Cup rematch first week of the season, you know, making sure that we're satisfying broadcast obligations as it relates to Friday night football and Thursday night football in the summer and those kinds of things. So, I mean, there's hundreds of different variables that go into creating a schedule. And then, you know, you let the computer do the work and go through there's literally millions of different combinations if you do the math. And then let the computer do the work. And then my job is really just to look at the output and determine whether or not, you know, the schedules that are being produced are what would pass a sniff test at the commissioner level and at the club level.
That's fascinating. So there's certainly, obviously, you know, considerations that you have going in and, you know, fence posts that will help guide you. You know, obviously, you know, there are some Labor Day matchups that are going to be preserved, you know, from one year to the next. I assume building availability and facility availability is something that you'd put in, you know, into that algorithm to make sure that you can have vacancy when you're looking to play games. But certainly, you know, having a appreciation of travel now is something that we have much more, you know, post the COVID-19 pandemic as maybe we did before. How did you equate for that, making sure that teams, you know, are staying as local as possible given the real travel considerations?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's one of the big differences between the 2021 schedule that was launched and previous schedules that, you know, I've worked on at the CFL. And that's what we've done with the 2021 schedule is we've kind of readjusted the balance of matchups. The 2021 schedule emphasizes in-division matchups more than it does, more than it had previously. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the 2021 schedule, what we've done is we actually have 8 more in-division games than we had in 2019, for example. So in previous schedules, what we had is we had a kind of a split of 41 in-division games, meaning, you know, these are your Saskatchewan Calgarys, your BC Winnipegs, your Hamilton Torontos, your Montreal Ottawas, those in-division games. There was 41 previously, and the 2021 schedule actually has 49 of those, so 8 more in-division games. And this actually does two things. The first thing it does is it does what you were just talking about. It reduces travel, which has a number of positive byproducts. One is we're reducing travel, less risk as it relates to, you know, the pandemic world we're living in right now. Another thing it does is it reduces costs. And that's something that, you know, all businesses, including the CFL, are becoming increasingly sensitive to post-pandemic is, you know, what can we do to control our costs? And then another thing it does is it, you know, another positive byproduct to, you know, to focusing on in-division matchups is it provides fans with more of the game, the kinds of games that they want, you know, the in-division rivalries, you know, that your Hamiltons and Torontos and your Winnipegs and Saskatchewans. We're playing more of those kinds of games in this schedule than we ever have before.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, and, you know, another positive byproduct is, you know, being conservative in terms of emissions and being green, it also has a benefit there. I wonder when it comes to making those types of decisions and putting together a schedule, you know, how much of it is science and how much of it is art?
I would say it's probably a 75% science, 25% art. But that doesn't mean, Donovan, that doesn't mean that 75% of the work or the time is done science. In fact, you know, the first 75% of this job is actually quite easy. But getting the last, you know, the last 25% takes most of the amount of time, like the art part of this. You know, once you have a, once you have like a set of schedules that you can work with, then it becomes a matter of, you know, can we get this across the finish line? Because every team, every club has obviously a vested interest in their own schedule. And it seems that, you know, every year, I think the running joke in the league is if every team is upset with the result, you know you've got a schedule that can work. Because what you don't necessarily want is you don't want to have four teams that are ecstatic with the result and then five teams that are not happy at all. What you really want is you want everybody to have the kind of like the same level of unhappiness. That's the best way to make sure it's fair. And to that end, we actually, you know, every schedule that the clubs see, we actually produce like a menu of metrics, of KPIs that they can look at to determine whether or not this schedule is fair. Like things like, you know, the number of days rest. I try to balance the number of days rest that every team has. You know, the number of 5-day turnarounds, the number of 6-day turnarounds, the number of 7-day turnarounds, that kind of thing. Another metric that's interesting that we developed back in 2014 or 2015 is something called a marginal days rest. And what a marginal days rest is, it's the difference in days rest that you have going into a game versus your opponent. So let me give you an example. Let's say you played a game last Friday and you have another game this Friday, but your opponent played last Saturday coming into the game this Friday. What this means in our KPIs is that you would have one more day rest going into that game than your opponent. So in this case, you would have positive one marginal days rest, and your opponent would have minus one marginal days rest. And that's a metric that we also focus on. And this is really for the football guys, the coaches and the general managers. They're really focused on how many days rest do I have going into a game versus how many days rest does my opponent have going into a game. And we try to control for that. Again, it's, you know, with 9 clubs in the CFL, you know, with an odd number of teams, you always have a bye every week, at least one bye. You know, that's a difficult thing to manage, but we do our best to control for not just days rest, making sure that, you know, teams have an adequate number of rest days between games, but also the number of marginal days rest, which is the difference between your own days rest versus your opponent's days rest going into a game. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And that's a big number, even, you know, when it comes to people evaluating who may win a game. They're looking at it from a player's perspective. You're looking at the days rest. From a coach's perspective, you're looking at that number differently, and you're looking at days of prep. You know, how many days do you have to put in a plan or to advance scout or self scout? So those things are really, really important.
You know what's interesting, Donovan? You know, we say all this and I, you know, I control for it. But the research that we've done, we've actually done some research on the impact that both days rest and marginal days rest have going into games. And our research actually suggests, counterintuitively, that those numbers actually don't make that big a difference in the success of a team. They have a small difference, but it's certainly not as marked as you know, a general manager or as a coach would lead you to believe. At least that's what the data tells us, is that the number of days rest and the number of marginal days rest doesn't have nearly the impact that you might think it does.
Wow, that's interesting. That is good to know. And maybe I'll lessen the value of that when I'm thinking about games in terms of making picks and prognostication. Maybe you've made us all a bit smarter thanks to that. So appreciate it. You know, when I look at the other leagues, and I'm sure you know, you have both appreciation and empathy for, you know, your fellow schedule makers, you know, across the sports landscape. Some though have a tougher job than others. But when I look at other leagues and maybe the different approaches and the different solutions that they've come to around managing the pandemic and incubation periods and positive tests in real time and that impact on the schedule, not just in that week, but moving forward, you see some variance in how they've handled it. But the one thing that is true is the need for some flexibility, some room to have some play. Was that a thought in terms of how this schedule was built out, or is it far enough into the future that the hope is that that's not as much a factor?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And we have been obviously keeping an eye on how, you know, the other leagues are managing game cancellations and postponements and that kind of thing. I'll be honest with you, Donovan, like we simply don't have the luxury in the CFL of planning in that way. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have a number of venues that we don't have any control over. The two that right off the top of my head are BC Place and BMO Field in Toronto. We simply, you know, because our teams don't control our venues, at least many of our teams don't control their venues, you know, the dates that they get are really the dates that they're given. So, you know, it would be nice to have the luxury of saying, listen, you know, if we have a game cancellation or a game postponement, we can simply move this game somewhere else. We don't have that luxury in the CFL, but I will say this is that, you know, we're already planning contingency schedules in the event that we're unable to play the 2021 schedule as it's been presented. But certainly none of us hope that it gets to that point.
So even more schedule planning for you, even after you've got this one out and it's in print and people have looked at it and circled their calendar and, you know, hopefully planned some road trips, you're still continuing to make some schedules.
Yeah, there's got to be some contingencies here, and that's, you know, that's just I think that's just good planning on our part and anticipating what might be coming down the pipeline.
That makes sense. And lastly, and again, we are in, you know, unusual times where we're changing things on the fly to adapt with them, but some of those things I suspect will just become the way things are done as we reinvent what life looks like. Moving forward, you know, again, in a closer to whatever our new normal is world, 2022-2023, do you suspect that those schedules will follow a similar model? Have there been some learnings on how to build a schedule, or do you think it will go back to the schedules we've become accustomed to in the last couple of years?
No, I think that the significant change that we made this year and that we talked about just a few minutes ago about the re-emphasis, like the overemphasis on in-division matchups, I think that's something that's here to stay. And what we're going to be doing is again, because we have an imbalance in the number of teams and the number of games that are being played, you know, between teams, what we're going to be doing is rotating that through every year. For example, you know, Saskatchewan doesn't visit Hamilton this year in Hamilton, but that's not going to be the case every year. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be rotating that through so that, you know, Saskatchewan won't be visiting Hamilton, you know, every fourth year. Maybe next year they don't, in the East, they don't come to visit, you know, Hamilton, or sorry, they don't come to visit Ottawa or Montreal or Toronto. But that's not going to be something that happens repeatedly every year, is that, you know, we're going to rotate through, you know, how teams travel out of division each season. But I think that our fans can expect that, you know, in future schedules, you're going to be seeing more in-division games than you have previously.
For our many Maritime listeners and fans, in what ways would your life as a schedule maker be easier if and when we had a 10th team and an even number of teams in the league?
Donovan, you have no idea. I either want us to expand or retract, you know, just get us to an even number of teams, because, you know, that would make operationally, not just the schedule making, but operationally a whole bunch of things, easier. Labor Day, for example, the Labor Day matchups. You know, BC is always kind of the one team that's left out. And that actually has, that puts some pressure on our schedule making elsewhere, because BC can never be home or away Labor Day, right? And if they are home or away Labor Day, then that complicates the matchups that we can create both Labor Day and the week following. Having Halifax, an even number of teams, would make, our Labor Day matchups much more elegant. And I wouldn't have to worry about creating some space for a BC game, because that would be, BC Halifax or BC Maritimes, whatever it is, BC Atlantic. So yeah, even number of teams, preferably, expand. But, from a selfish point of view, if we need to retract, it would certainly make my life a lot easier if we had 8 or 10.
Yeah, well, I'd love that. I'd love to see that home and away BC, Atlantic matchup where one week,
great.
All the West Coasters go to the East Coast and celebrate, and then the next week all the Maritimers go to the West Coast and celebrate for a road trip with football. I'm just glad that we're talking football, even though that's not going to happen in the shortest of term. Love that we have a schedule out next. I'd love to see it played to the end. Can't wait to see the great Cup handed out in 2021, but for you that would just mean probably waking up the next morning and working on the 2022 schedule.
Yeah.
So thank you for taking a bit of time away from that computer screen to let us know in layman's terms everything that you're dealing with and what we can look forward to.
Thanks, Donovan. It's a lot of fun.
And thanks again to Trevor Hardy. If you want to follow him so you're getting that info in real time, at CFL Cap Guy is his handle on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. We're actually going to be talking not just about the upcoming season, but the holiday season coming up. And we're bringing back the old faithful, Davis Sanchez, to break down our festive football wants, if you will. Our festive football wants, and who would we want around us? What CFL people would we want at our holiday celebrations? That's in an episode coming up in future weeks. But before we get to that, what do you want to hear? Who do you want to hear? Who do you want to hear from? What do you want us to talk about? Give us your feedback at CFL is where we want to hear from you on Twitter, on Instagram. And while you're online, continue to like, favorite, share, subscribe our podcast, because it's really a nice thing to do. So why not? This has been fun to do, as always, for me. Thank you so much for listening.
The WAG, presented by Sportclips, the official podcast of the Canadian Football League.